The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. There is substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options, which you should carefully consider prior to trading.
Bringing you the ag information you need, this is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Another day higher in all three wheat complexes on Friday. Two-sided action in quartered soybeans as we headed to the weekend. And the cattle trade, another good day on Friday with hogs under pressure. Welcome to Market Talk. Thank you for joining us here on the show today. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you along as we talk about markets and issues impacting rural America here on the show. And looking at the markets, another day higher in wheat, although we did lose a little bit of steam in Chicago wheat and spring wheat as we got to the close, but Kansas City wheat did its best to hang on to some strength with the ongoing dryness and weather concerns in the southwestern HRW wheat belt, along with concerns in southern Russia and Europe. That has been the catalyst for higher trade and short covering here the last seven sessions, really. Bumping up against, though, some overhead resistance, the 200-day moving average here in this wheat trade. That was a significant area that we had to test on the day on Friday. Meantime, two-sided, a slightly lower in row crops, quarter beans, lower on the day. Just kind of quiet overall, some farmer selling impacting things. But with that, too, seeing rain move across a wide area of the Corn Belt in the upper Midwest on the day Friday, and that slowing down some planting progress, but just kind of adding to a blah end of the week, so to speak. We'll see where things go. We do May option expiration on Friday. That's another piece of volatility in these markets as we get into the close here. That might have explained some of the downward pullback here in this grain trade as we got to the close, is that May options expiration. We'll get first notice day here this next week. So I think all that together maybe gave us a quieter day to head to the weekend, but still overall fairly positive. We're going to talk about it here on the show today. Coming up, Christy Van On, she sits with Van On & Company, is going to join us for a conversation after the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to her thoughts on the markets. Also in segment two, we're going to have an interesting conversation about the power of the shovel with your early season crop scouting. Stephen Heitchu, agronomist with AgriGold in Southern Indiana, is going to join us to tell us more about that coming up here in just a little bit. First up, though, let's talk markets, grains, inflation data, livestock. Here is that midday commentary we had with Arlen Suderman from StoneX on Friday, starting with the grain trade.
Yeah, end of the week, trying to get out of here. The strength is in the wheat market, but how do you go into the weekend? That'll be a question that we'll be watching and see how these markets unfold going forward. We are in overbought territory, and that may make traders a little bit nervous going into the weekend. But longer term, it really comes down to what the weather maps do in the central and southern plains as well as in Russia. And you can debate which one is important. Over the years, I've noticed that the markets tend to trade both, but it seems like they put more emphasis on weather in Russia than they do the emphasis right here in the United States of America. So we'll see how that plays out. We do see some increasing chances of moisture in dry areas of southern Russia. Forecasters are not very confident in it at all, but if the middays come in a little bit wetter yet, that may trigger some selling. So that's something we'll have to monitor. Corn and soybeans still facing farmer selling, particularly in Brazil on this rally, as they're facing also a weaker currency, which also tends to amplify the opportunities they get from selling.
We got the PCE inflation data out Friday morning, looked a little hotter than anticipated in some segments of that report. What's your take on that data that I know the Fed looks at very closely?
Yeah, if you look at it, the year-on-year data came in hotter than expected, and the personal expenditures in March came in hotter than expected as well. So what it says is the economy is still doing well overall. There are pieces of the economy, segments that are struggling, but the economy as a whole is still doing well. And it also says that inflation is here and it's sticky and it's not going away. We've been above 3% for core CPI now for 36 months. And so we have to question how committed is the Federal Reserve actually on that 2% mandate. There's nothing in here to suggest that the Fed can cut rates. And I still stick with the fact that they may even have to raise rates. But I don't expect it before they prepare us for that, because they like to be transparent. So I don't think that we're going to get a rate cut next week when they meet by any means. But I do think their current stance is, let's keep rates at these levels and see if it takes us down. The problem is today's data shows us that it's not.
Livestock real quick, hogs a bit lower, cattle a bit higher. We did get that news from Colombia. They're banning beef imports from 8 U.S. states where we've seen dairy cows test positive for the bird flu. Wondering if that could have any impact on this cattle market here. Overall, though, kind of just it looks like some spreading of cattle against hogs here today.
Yeah, and that continues. The bird flu and the dairy cows continues to be the story here, and the concerns of what happens when and if we get a beef animal that tests positive at some point. How will the market react to that? So we've been seeing the funds liquidate just on the uncertainty. Fundamentally, we saw cash cattle trade right around 182 for the third week in a row in the Southern Plains. That took place midweek. And then yesterday we saw a surprising trade to the upside, a couple dollars higher in the northern feedlot district. So that's providing some support for the board as we close things out. So we look at the hog market, a little bit of a pullback today. Overall, though, demand has been very good. Just the carcass weights are up there. And that's providing the meat to fill that demand right now.
And once again, Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, joined us for midday commentary on the day on Friday. He joins us typically each and every weekday around the noon hour and gives us his thoughts on what is happening in the market trade. Do appreciate his time. Again, kind of a mixed two-sided quiet day in the grains. Wheat did its best to hang on to the strength, although we were off the highs. It's gotten to the close, and I think that options expiration really was a big driver late in the session on the day on Friday. And, of course, again, the weather, pretty quiet, cold, rainy. Seeing a lot of rain work across the Corn Belt on Friday and into the weekend. And so we're going to see how that does, how that helps out with soil moisture. I know soil moisture profiles in some spots really needing a shot, so to speak, a nice shot of moisture to help things out here as we get into the heart of spring planting season. So something to watch there. I think, though, overall, we've had a pretty good start to spring planting in many areas. Could that put some potential market pressure on things? That's something that remains to be seen here. It's really going to become a weather market as we move into May. U.S. weather, the tail end of South American weather here. There's some concerns in Argentina. There's some concerns in Brazil's Safrinha corn crop areas, the second corn crop. And then, of course, those concerns overseas in the wheat areas, southern Russia and Ukraine and Europe. Those are all going to be things that are going to play a big, big role here as we move forward into the month of May and into the summer. It's going to be that traditional kind of seasonal focus as we turn the market attention to weather, barring any sort of black swan events. We're going to talk markets again later in the show with Christy Van Onschiseth from Van On & Company. Coming up next, though, we're going to talk about some early season crop scouting and the power of the shovel. At least that's the word from Stephen Heitschu, agronomist with AgriGold in southern Indiana. He's going to stop by and tell us more exactly what he is thinking by saying the power of the shovel. We're going to talk to him coming up after this. We'll be back with more on Market Talk right after the break.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, joining us now, getting a little bit of a spring planting update, but also talking ever important crop scouting and more. Joining us, agronomist in southern Indiana with AgriGold, Stephen Heintzeu is with us here today on the show. Stephen, it's good to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
Jesse, I am doing well. I hope you're doing well as well. And, you know, I'm looking forward to this spring. It's a wonderful spring morning out there, that crispness in the air. We've got the trees blooming. That kind of tells us it's time for go time. I mean, we're ready to plant. We've been held up a little bit in southern Indiana. We had some really nice conditions the end of March. And we had several beans go in the ground and a few acres of corn. Driving through southern Indiana yesterday, I did see some corn spiking and some beans up. So we're slow, but we're going. I would say we're probably behind our normal pace this time. But, you know, as the calendar says, we've got time, so we need to do it right.
Yeah, no, and that's good to hear. You know, I know you guys have had some of those rain challenges, as you mentioned, but getting a little bit of work done in that calendar, to your point, we still got time to get a good crop in the ground here for this spring season. Well, let's talk about, as we think about getting that crop in the ground, I know crop scouting so important, and even just, you know, grabbing a shovel and being able to get out in the field and look at certain things like your corn plants. So talk about just the power of the shovel a little bit for us, Stephen.
So the power of the shovel really comes from, I mean, it's our scorecard. We talk a lot about the corn factory, the plant above the ground. But when I was learning corn and trying to investigate and figure out all I know, I was over in Illinois and I got told that the corn roots should be as deep as the top of the plant. Now, if you're down here in this mid-south region and being from Kentucky like I am, there's absolutely no way we can get our roots as deep as the top of the corn plant. We're going to hit these things called bedrock. And we have some of those extruding from the ground. So we know we don't always have the depth of soil that they do in Illinois and Iowa. So it's very important that we take advantage of all the soil that we can. So using that shovel as our scorecard, when that corn starts to spike, we can take just a small hand shovel, go out there, scoop a corn plant up, keep the soil ball around it, and start looking there and start evaluating our planter pass. And we also can start looking even that young at some yield potentials and some current hurdles or challenges that we may face in the future. So when that spikelet's coming up, we get that ball of soil out there. We want that thing to crumble and fall apart for us. We don't really want to have to do a lot of work to get the dirt away from the roots at that point in time. We're going to have a radical growing out of the seed. We want that thing to be as long as possible. I know that's going to vary in places. And we want to have a lot of fibrous root hairs coming off of it. That's what's feeding that small seedling. That's where we use our pop-up to get that into the plant. So it's critical to get that thing off to a good start. We don't want to see any injuries on it, whereas we have a lot of challenges. We could have pest damages feeding on it. We can have chemical damages. We can have fertilizer burns and all those things. And we need to be evaluating those, but we also need to be evaluating our planter pass. If we pull that thing out of the ground and it breaks into two halves and we've got sheared sidewalls there, we know we probably went in there a little too wet. So we're going to be setting our roots back starting out from that. Typically, that's going to lead to a hatcheted type root system. So it's all going to go straight down that trench. We're going to not use the soil like we were just talking about. We're only going to use a fraction of what we had out there. So that's a good number one. I like to go out to an average place in my field, check it there. If I've got a lot of variations in my soils, I check it in two or three places. A spring like this one, we know we're going to have a wet spot or we're going to have a drain through the field. Expect a little bit worse there. Expect to see some shearing, whereas the rest of the field may be good. You know, we're going to have to go with those. But if we start seeing problems throughout the field of tight sidewalls, I mean, really the only overcompensation or the only compensation for that would be to have a really nice rainfall kind of consistently until those roots get established. So that planter pass can make us or break us if we do it at the right time. That's why you hear agronomists say we want to pull back ahead of that rain, and we want to start when the ground conditions are right. We don't want it too wet to begin with. So that would be early evaluations and looking at that radical root and seeing how it's getting off to a good start. Mm-hmm. Then the second timing would be around our V3, V4, when we're shifting from that radical root system to our nodal root system. We're going to set our first nodes at 3/4 of an inch below the ground. That's why seed depth is important. We've got to have that 3/4 of an inch. Those roots are going to start growing down at a 30 to 45 degree angle. And so they're going to penetrate. They're going to be a more fibrous looking root system at first. They're not going to have a lot of root hairs off of them, but that angle is very important. That's what gets us out there. If we're side dressing and those kind of things, that gets us out into that potential zone to use more of that soil. So we want to see that established at the right angle. Once again, it could go back to the planter. We could have that sidewall smear, and we could have some hatcheting roots. We can also see those roots get down in 3 to 4 inches of soil and then start turning horizontal to our soil. And that's typically caused by compaction. Now, that could have been our field cultivator going in there trying to dry out the soil to get that. We want to fluff the top. We want that 2 inches dry. But even 3-4 inches is critical. We need to get those roots down there past and through that. So it may not be something that you did, though. We've seen a lot of soils that just have a lot of magnesium levels that are going to make them tight. There are some soils that will have natural compaction layers in them. So we want to make sure that our tillage and everything is doing what we need it to do and breaking those layers up. But we may also want to look at some soil health conditions. If we can promote earthworms, they're going to give us pathways through those. Our cover crops can also give us pathways through those. So we can do it not only with tillage, but with some other aspects of farming, such as soil health practices. But we really have to get those roots as deep as we can at that 30 to 45 degree angle. That is going to be critical to getting all of the nutrients into that factory we talked about. The roots are a miner, so we've got to go down there and mine that out of the soil. We want to use as much soil as we have the ability to use to get those nutrients. If we see those problems at, say, 3 inches, say we did put a compaction layer in there, then we know we're going to have to feed that crop in those top 3 to 4 inches of soil. So then we can start spoon feeding. We can start adding some extra nutrients that we normally would have got deeper. We're still not going to get the water from deeper in the soils, but we will have the ability to overcome some of those nutrient challenges. And all this is done by just taking that shovel out there and looking. I usually get the call that the top of the plant's looking bad for some reason. Well, if we'd have looked underneath of the soil beforehand, we could have caught some of these and we could have fixed them before they were ever a problem.
And I wonder too, Stephen, I know all great stuff, good thoughts. I wonder, getting out there and digging up a plant as well, could it show any early onset, especially, establishing the root zone, but also any early onset of any disease or pest pressure, or at least going through the growing season? I'm sure that's something that we could find as well, right?
For sure. We don't deal with root worms as much, but I mean, they're evaluating the roots probably more so than we are, because they are feeding on the nodal roots and cutting them off. We have our own challenges. We have a lot of seedling blights, a lot of pythium in the soil. We can see that and figure that out. Usually we get through that most of the times, unless it's extremely bad. We just sit in cold, saturated soils for long periods of time. That's going to make it shift from the radical root system to the nodal root system earlier, which does cut some yield off. I mean, we are going to lose a little bit of potential there. We have a lot of pests underground that can show up and show that feeding. The problem with a lot of those is it's a future problem. We can't take care of it this year. We can't go back and fix a lot of our pests. We need that seed treatment. We need that soil applied insecticide at a planter pass. There's not a lot of stuff we can go back and do, but we can evaluate the crop and see if we need to do something in the future to maybe push those roots along. I like to tell the story about the milkshake. I mean, we all drink milkshakes, or most of us do anyway. And you put a little straw in that milkshake, and it really takes a lot of effort to get that milkshake out of the cup. But if you just take that little straw out and you put a big straw in that cup, then that milkshake comes out of that cup very easily. So if we have the ability to get a bigger root system established and we don't have any restrictions in it, we're going to be able to pull those water, that water and nutrients out of the soil a lot easier. And so then we're going to see that in our top growth and in our yield.
Don't underestimate the power of the shovel. With that, AgriGold agronomist at Southern Indiana, Stephen Heitschu. Stephen, thanks for joining us. Great conversation. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Jesse. You have a wonderful day.
Once again, good stuff there with Stephen Heitschu from AgriGold. We will be back with more here on Market Talk. On the way, right after the break.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. There is substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options, which you should carefully consider prior to trading.
Oh, yeah.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, overall on Friday, we wrapped a pretty positive week with a little more strength in the grain markets. We did kind of fade, but wheat trade was, again, the upside leader. While in the livestock trade, we found a good day in cattle again on Friday. Hogs, though, another down day, so maybe some spread action there. But, you know, overall, again, a pretty good couple of days here in these markets as we're nearing the end of the month of April. Joining us now to talk about what's happening and what we're seeing in the trade, Christy Van Onschiseth with Van On & Company is with us. Christy, welcome back to the show. It's good to catch up with you again.
Yes, it's always great. Thank you.
Well, as I alluded to, hey, you know what? Not a bad couple of sessions here, especially this wheat trade. I know a lot of this weather concerns, but we put a decent premium back into all three of these wheat complexes, really. And kind of getting us up against some pretty good overhead resistance, it looked like on Friday, like that 200-day moving average kind of thing. But overall, hey, I'll take a bit of a wheat-led rally here the last couple of days, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing is that for the, you know, a lot of these movements need to be led by wheat, it seems like. And so we're finally seeing that happen. You see the wheat complex anywhere from, you know, upper 40s to 65 cents higher on the week. So a lot of support in here. I also think this has been a great opportunity to play some catch up on some sales for spring wheat that's in the bin right now. I know that there's a lot of people that were behind on marketing just because at the point that they were at to do some marketing, they just did not feel confident in their crop last summer. And so that's been one of the most difficult things marketing wise for myself moving forward has been marketing. We're behind as a company where we typically like to be. We're playing aggressive catch up right now at this price point. Once we got above $7, it seemed like some more buying came in. So it has been a friend to the grain markets, I believe. The trouble that I have is that we have reached a point in the calendar now that every weekend is like a intense weekend, right? Every weekend you're going to be going in here, and whether it is friendly or not friendly on Friday, a lot can change by the Sunday open. And so we do have this friendly rhetoric around the market. We do see some great technical action, but some of this has been brought on by a lot of moisture that's been in the forecast. So if you come in here and dry out that forecast on Sunday evening, I'm worried that where are these bulls going to come into? And then on the flip side, as we progress through Monday's trade at the close, after the close on Monday, we're going to get planting progress. And there's been a lot of chatter that there's been aggressive planting through Illinois, Iowa, parts of Minnesota ahead of these rains. And I'm fearful that you can see just how hard guys can push these days and see a really high number. Now, it's early enough in the season, but we have to remember that. So when you're looking at marketing and you're thinking about targets, a lot can change in 2 days where the markets are off right now in this time frame of the calendar.
That's why you got to be smart and watch things closely, even as you're busy with planting. May options expiration on Friday. Do you think that played a role into some of the fade in the grains across the board as we got to the close?
Yeah, I really do. So if you look at seasonal tendencies, especially for the corn market, well, really for the corn market, this ending here into May is kind of where we try to find a bottom and then rally out here starting in the beginning of May and moving forward. And I think option expiration for the May contract plays a big role into that. So seasonally, we're going to flip this script here pretty soon for the corn market to find that buying. Takes a little bit before seasonally that happens into the soybean market. But overall, I just feel like you can get through this May option expiration. There are some still having the ability, obviously, first notice is Tuesday. So there is some trading still happening off of May tomorrow, or I should say Monday, and then we'll move forward after that. And so hopefully that's kind of the final push into this and we can seasonally get moving forward. There's just a lot of moving parts. And I'd like to preach right now that corn has all these small friendly stories behind it. Like there's a lot of them out there. You can kind of pull them through the woodwork and say, hey, this is a friendly aspect of corn right now. It's nice to see this. Export sales were great. All of those little tidbits putting them together. But there's not that one big story to give it a push right now. And so that makes it just a little bit where you're wanting to be friendly corn, but wanting to be kind of cautiously friendly corn, because a lot can change in one day right now for the markets.
It doesn't feel like in many of these grain markets, wheat especially, but even quarter beans too, as I look at it, it doesn't feel like we're really inverted. It feels like we still got a little bit of carry here. Would you agree with that, or am I misreading that, Christy?
Yeah, I think the nice thing that we've been looking at, you know, we made a push on spring wheat marketing here this week. And one thing to look at is the large carries right now in spring wheat from September to March. So if you're holding that wheat right now, there's like a 24 to 26 cent carry to be doing some marketing into like a March HTA that should cover your delivery periods of Jan, Feb, March. And typically you can see some friendlier basis for wheat into this February timeframe. The last few years, you have not seen the basis really give any opportunity for spring wheat. I just feel like it's been very quiet. The basis has not moved a ton, but it's been nice to see that. So that's kind of where I've been transitioning guys to say, hey, look at these deferred contracts. On the flip side, on corn, you're looking at a carry from DEES 24 to July 25 of 28 and a half cents, 29 cents. You know, the old logic behind it was that if you could get a 30 cent carry to roll your contract here from December to January or July on any given year, that's a good carry. Now, I do think it can get wider. It got wider last year. I think it can get wider again this year at some point because of interest rates, but these are early opportunities. You know, if you're looking at here, one of the conversations that I've had a lot lately with producers, our bankers are calling them and asking them about cash flow, renegotiating some operating loans, getting your feel on things. And there's been a lot of them that said, I would like a little bit more on the books here for some marketing. And if you look out to July 25, if you're a person that stores your grain or has the ability to store corn, you're over $5 into July 25 corn. So I know that that has been that topic that if I could just see $5 again, if I could get $5 again for my corn, you have that opportunity right now out to July 25. So I think there are opportunities. The carry has been playing such a role in that to give us even more. So it's been really, really nice to see. And to be honest, typically, when we see a rally, the carries do shrink, and we haven't seen that right now, which is a good thing because it's providing us a lot of opportunity for those deferred contracts.
Well, and I think about this too. You mentioned a lot of those deferred contracts, and especially the, you know, getting above $5 in corn again. And I've heard some of those same things too. It's, we know a lot of farmers have plenty of grain in storage right now on the farm. I mean, we've seen that with recent reports. I think about this too, is that, you know, this is a time frame where we have to be a smart marketer. And, you know, maybe if you've in the past, you just elected to sell cash and be done with it and take what the board gives you, that's one thing. But here, you know, managing your risk with some different strategies feels like it almost has to be done in this market environment right now, Christy.
Yeah, I would agree. I have these conversations with my husband quite a bit. One of the things I love about my job the most is that every day is honestly so different. You never know what you're going to get. And every year is so different. So we've come off a few years that, you know, you could sell, be wrong, and still be making money, right? It's not fun, right? You're very upset with yourself that you sold too early, but you're still making money. You're still farming another year. You're still growing that legacy, hopefully for children to come. So you have that opportunity. And now we're into a time frame that it takes a little bit more work. And so you're pulling out those strategies. You're really focusing on basis and carry. You're really focusing on some tools that you can be using where before it was just very easy to pull the trigger and make some sales. That was one of the difficult conversations I had with people about spring wheat. To be honest, a lot of guys are telling me that the current price structure for September spring wheat is not a profitable price right now. And I believe that the difficulty is just because it's not profitable does not mean you shouldn't be doing something about it. And so you have a lot of people right now that have those higher break-evens, rent prices increasing. There are still strategies to be done. So just because it's not profitable does not mean that you should be just closing your eyes and hoping for this price to get better. There are a lot of tools that you can be utilizing.
And you should even think forward too. I mean, if you're looking at, you know, maybe you got to think about some fall fertilizer possibly here, getting some of that, or energy needs, or, you know, you mentioned, you know, rents going up, things like that. Like you got to also maybe in the back of your mind too, forecast yourself ahead to what am I looking at initially anyway for 2025, right?
Yeah. And I think those are great strategies as well. And, you know, here's the thing. If you can look at the corn market and say, hey, I can make money somewhere typically around $5, you have that opportunity now for July of 25. December, so not this crop you're planting, but the next one you're planting is not that far off from $5. So we know that that profitability is close, right? That it's very, very close. When you look at soybeans for those deferred contracts, it's not quite there. Those price structures aren't quite there. So if you're looking and saying, what can I be doing marketing wise to make sure my farm as a whole is having a good chance at that, you can focus on corn and say, hey, I'm going to do a little bit here to give me some more time to see if I could potentially get a story later down the road for soybeans. Like I said, soybeans take a little bit longer for the seasonal to happen. We know that there is ample supply in Brazil right now and Argentina for soybeans. So we're kind of struggling on the demand front. Luckily, we were very aggressive with our market or our exports and shipping them out early, which has been great for us to say, hey, we got them out the door. They're not coming back. And so those are the type of things. But moving forward, you are looking at a forecast that many ag meteorologists are still saying you could see hot and dry aggressively by the end of the summer. And I'm not so sure that could really be a problem for corn at this point, but I do think that that is a soybean story. And so if you're starting on some corn marketing, it gives you a little bit of time to try and be patient on when it comes to some soybean downside protection.
Well, once again, that is the voice of Christy Van On. She's with Van On and Company. She's our guest analyst here today on the show. As again, we saw a fairly okay day, quiet, good strength in KC wheat, the leader with all three wheats finishing in the green, but mostly slightly lower in quarter beans, cattle higher, hogs lower. We're going to talk more about the markets coming up here after the break as we'll continue our conversation here on Market Talk. Back with more right after this.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Stay up to date and listen to past episodes online at markettalkag.com. Now, back to Market Talk with Jesse Allen.
Christy Van On, she's with Van On and Company, joining us here today on Market Talk. Christy, let's go to the livestock trade. Cattle futures, a good end of the week with some good gains in both fats and feeders. Cash trade was steady to higher on the week, it seems like. I know, though, that this market has it's been beat up by news headlines. HPAI and dairy had an effect midweek. News out that Colombia is restricting beef imports from 8 states where they found confirmed cases of HPAI in dairy and hasn't been found in U.S. beef cattle, but still Colombia, you know, doing that. They're not a huge importer of U.S. beef, but it's still a country doing that. I feel like this cattle trade has definitely been impacted by the news cycle. But then also too, maybe, you know, figuring how to quickly move past it, you know, especially with the way we saw Friday's action. Your thoughts on this cattle trade overall right now?
Yeah, cattle feels like a roller coaster right now. You know, I'll have a text message one day being like, we should have been buying those feeders. And then the next day you're like, good thing we didn't buy those. And so it's been all over the place. And I think that's just, you know, coming in here and making sure you're doing some form of downside protection when we do see those move together. So this week was a pretty busy week for us as a whole, as a company. We made a lot of recommendations, and both cattle and hog marketing were one of those calls that we made this week. We opted to do them in puts. If you're looking at cattle, you could also be looking at LPR. They're pretty much subsidized puts. You could be talking to your insurance agent about that. But those are the moves that we made. There's a lot of stories for both cattle and hogs that can paint a pretty picture moving forward. But the thing is, we don't know these black swan stories, and they seem to be getting aggressive. If you would have told us, you know, 1 month ago or something like that, that we would see these issues that we have with the bird flu and the impact that it's having, the psychological impact it's having on traders, I think that is one thing we just can't account for. So we know that inventory is light. We know that cash is strong. We know that it's there. The demand is there. But sometimes it's just that one story that it doesn't matter if you have everything else lined up, it's going to give this market a go one way or the other. And that's what we're dealing with right now. So we do think it's important to be looking at that downside protection some way, somehow, for both cattle and hogs. We saw friendly cash towards the end of the week for cattle, and that's, I think, what gave it that support and able to close higher on the week, especially for the feeder cattle chart. On the weekly chart, I think it was up $7 on the week. So you see those friendly atmospheres. One concern I do have is just the story that we've been selling ourselves for so long when it comes to cattle is the tight inventories that we have, how low it is. I think one thing that's not being talked enough is just how heavy the weights have been for cattle. And that at some point that is going to help offset some of the inventory issues we have. Cash has not really responded to that so far. Like I said, we saw that push on cash towards the end of the week to help support futures. But there's just a lot of risk on the table right now for both cattle and hogs that I think it's important to be looking at something along the way.
And hogs too on Friday. Do you feel like that was maybe some inner market, you know, spread action, maybe, you know, selling hogs, buying cattle a little bit too? That I got that feeling on Friday's trade as well, Christy.
Yeah, that's a trade we've been part of. So I could totally see where that spread action is part of it as well. And so the spread between cattle and hogs, that is not for the faint of heart, but it's given us some good opportunity along the ways throughout the years. But that is, I think, part of the reason, as well as the fact that managed money, you see where they are right now, especially for the hog markets. And I also just think on the chart, when you look at a chart for hogs, one of the old sayings that was really drilled into our mind as we built our wanting to grow on our technical side of things for trading is to really take a chart and not know what chart you're looking at. Take the symbol off of it and look at this chart and say, what do you see? And not put that bias behind it of the fundamental news or the cash trade behind it or all of that. And when you looked at a hog chart, you were really well beyond two standard deviations away from trend. And so I just think that there was a lot of calling to bring some sellers into this market, whether that is related to anything fundamental or not. It just felt like investments wanted to take that short, whether that was just a straight short or whether that was spread trading between cattle and hogs.
All right, Christy, wrap this up, put a bow on it for us here as we close out the show today. Final thoughts, anything you want to mention or reiterate to producers as they're looking across their grain and livestock marketing plans right now?
Yeah, people are probably so sick of hearing this, but work your orders. Work orders at the elevator, work orders in your account. I cannot stress this enough. Know where you're at as far as it goes with what contracts you have currently at the elevator or not. The last thing you guys want to be doing right now is marketing. This is something that blows my mind, is that marketing is one of the most important things to a farm success, but it is the number one thing that farmers do not want to do. And I don't blame them, because it's really a lot of work. And so right now your focus is getting this crop in. You don't want to be talking about anything else. You don't want to be doing anything else. You just want to get this crop in. So make sure you're working those orders, because like I said, every weekend we are going to have a lot of news being able to change hands, weather really changed hands. So it's important to get those. Right now, targets we're looking at 487 on December corn, 504, 522. Those areas are all ones we're looking at for D's 24. Beans, obviously a little bit further away from where we currently are, but there is a gap up there that we do feel like eventually we should be able to get. And that's around that 1242 or 1244 mark, I believe, on November beans. So that's a target we're looking at, but really more importantly, putting those targets in on wheat and corn at these levels that we're seeing right now.
It is that season. It's weather market season. Definitely a lot to take into account here as we move forward. Christy, great stuff. If folks want to reach out to you and the team there at Van Aan and Company, how can they get a hold of you?
You can call us at 1-800-648-5494.
And I know you can find them online, vanonco.com. Christy Van Aan, she sits with Van Aan and Company. Thanks for joining us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Perfect. Thank you.
Once again, Christy Van Aan, she sits with Van Aan and Company, joining us here today on Market Talk. May corn was one lower, 440. December corn down 2 3/4, 473 and a half. May soybeans 3 1/4 lower, 1159 and a half. November down 3/4, 1174 and 3/4. Chicago wheat, May one higher, 603 1/4. May Kansas City wheat up 14 1/4, 646 1/4. May spring wheat up 6 1/4, 697 1/4. April live cattle up 72, 184.67. May feeders up 245, 248.70. May hogs down $1, 94.27 on Friday session. With that, we are out of time here on Market Talk today. Coming up on our next program, we'll talk markets with John Heimberg from Total Farm Marketing and weather with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrient Ag Solutions. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.